So much to talk about. One person to talk to, Art Stapleton from the Bergen Record, Giants beat writer. Art, welcome back to the program.
What's up, Lori? How are you?
I'm doing well. Let's start with, if there's one question I've gotten from my listeners on social media and all over in the last few days, is there are running back rumors swirling around the New York Giants. And for some of the fan base, they're like, all right, cool, a running back. But for most of the fan base, as I'm sure you're hearing the same stuff, there's panic starting to hit. And I think a feeling of a lot of Giants fans love Cam Scataboo and love, you know, and the combination of Scataboo and Tracy, think that that position is in good shape. But what are you hearing about John Harbaugh and the potential interest in running backs?
Well, I mean, I think it's no surprise that, you know, John Harbaugh is going to come in here and, you know, I've been told to expect the unexpected, and I don't necessarily think that he's looking to throw curveballs at every step of the way, but I think, you know, we have to kind of take a step back as a beat, as a fan base, as everyone who follows the New York Giants, and it's almost like a reset. You have to forget what you know. Even though the general manager stayed the same, and even though the front office and the personnel department and the scouting department has essentially been untouched to this point, you have to remember what their jobs are, and their jobs are to serve the head coach and his coaching staff. And the reality is that if John Harbaugh looks at this roster and says, you know what, I like Scataboo, I like Tracy, but I see some issues here, and I want another one. I think Kenneth Walker could be awesome in this team, you know, that kind of thing, then they'll have to weigh their options and look at the market and say maybe they do look for a veteran running back to bring in here. I mean, they are going to part ways with Devin Singletary at some point, so there is a spot for a veteran. So I don't know necessarily if the running back talk is, we don't like Scataboo, we don't like Tracy. I think it may just be John Harbaugh looking and saying, you know what, I just spent several years with Derrick Henry. You know, like, he wants, you know, that kind of bell cow guy. I mean, maybe he reinvents the way he wants his offense, but for the most part, I think that's where the running back talk is coming from, is that the idea that, you know, they're also trying to keep other teams on their toes, you know, try to keep them guessing as far as what the Giants are going to do. So that is one separate argument. And then the Jeremiah Love argument is the fact that you can make an argument, and some have, that Jeremiah Love is the best offensive player in this draft. So if you truly are thinking now and long term, if you want to improve your offense dramatically, then you would take a Jeremiah Love. You know, it's a little different than the Saquon mm-hmm. Barkley draft, because the Giants needed a quarterback. They had a quarterback who was on the way out. He was not even on the back nine. He was in the clubhouse. You know, and that's no disrespect to Eli.
I think you and I both think Eli should be in the Hall of Fame, but it was the 19th hole.
Absolutely. And, you know, the reality is that they had, you know, quarterback options there. I loved Sam Darnold. Mm-hmm. I loved Josh Rosen. I maybe would have been right with one. I was totally wrong with the other. Mm-hmm. You know, then Josh Allen was on the board, and Pat Shurmur and John Mara both liked Josh Allen, but the general manager wanted Saquon Barkley. I mean, it's revisionist history, Lori. We don't want to go back to there, but I do know that there are a lot of Giants fans who look at that and say, we don't want to make the same mistake. And I don't necessarily, if it's fair to say, it would be the same mistake, because you have a rookie quarterback now going on year two, and the team is different. And you know what? You're not bringing in a running back for a coach who doesn't necessarily want him or doesn't know how to use him. This is John Harbaugh, and he's here making $100 million. If he says he wants a left tackle, you'd figure out what you're going to do with Andrew Thomas, and you bring in the left tackle. Maybe a bad example, because I don't think he's doing anything with the left tackle, but yeah, I think you get my point.
Yeah, and look, first guess, I thought that the Saquon pick at the time didn't make sense for that team. I think, and I tend to be somebody who is I don't think they should take a running back at number 5 overall type of person. However, if I'm being fair, and to your point, and the differences in the situation, I think part of the Saquon issue at the time, terrific player though he was, is that on a team that was seemed pretty obvious needed a new quarterback and was on a downward, you know, trajectory that needed to bottom out and get into their rebuild, that by the time they would be potentially competing and a competitive team and a playoff team and all of that, there'd be too much tread on the tires of a rookie running back contract. And like, you know, why do you want to do that? It's a luxury item. And but if you look at this team, can you make the case that a now you have a franchise young quarterback, the clock is now ticking on the win, you know, kind of win now with this young quarterback on the upswing. Now it's less of a luxury item where you can say, all right, maybe this team isn't making the playoffs in year one, they're improving, but where the time horizon for that young running back you would draft would at least sync up with the time horizon for this team to be to become a playoff team.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't take the running back here. I think Jeremiah Love is a fantastic player. I like him as a player. I think he's going to make some team very happy. If I had my druthers, I would take one of the defensive players.
Yep.
I think, you know, Sonny Styles or Caleb Downs. And, you know, I know there are fans of the offensive linemen, and, you know, maybe we have a better feel for that next week sometime if we see that the Giants don't get a new center and they can't retain their right tackle, then all of a sudden maybe a Spencer Fano or a Francis Mananoa comes into play. But for the most part, I can understand why someone would look at Jeremiah Love and say he's the best offensive player in the draft, and you bring him in here and now you have Scat, Tracy, and Love, and now all of a sudden you're reinventing your offense. I wouldn't do that, but I could also see why the Giants are talking running back on the free agency market. But the other part of this, Lori, and you and I both know, they're not just going to do this for a smokescreen, but it doesn't hurt that you're going after running backs in free agency, so to speak. Then you look at the teams behind you in the draft. The team picking seventh might be looking at Jeremiah Love. That's Washington.
Yep.
The team picking eighth might be looking at Love. That's New Orleans. The team picking ninth is Kansas City. They might be looking at Love. Well, you're sitting at fifth, and maybe you want a Carnell Tate, and you feel like, you know what? We'd love to get an extra asset down the line. Maybe we can move to seven and feel like we can get Tate, you know, there. I don't think they're going to make the trade with Washington, but I think you know what I mean.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden, you know, New Orleans and Kansas City, they've got to be sitting there going, you know what? If we really like Jeremiah Love, I mean, the Giants pursued Walker, right, in free agency. They knew they weren't getting him. Well, now, all of a sudden, you know, what do they do in free agency? Maybe they are in the market for a free agent running back. And all you want to say about Joe Shane and positional value and everything else, I asked Joe Shane this point blank off the podium on Tuesday down in Indianapolis. The reality is, has he adjusted as a general manager? Because we all know positional value, it's been a big thing, a big belief system for Joe Shane. And Joe Shane said, you know, have I adjusted? Yes. Or have I evolved? Yes. Do I like it? No. And he kind of laughed, kind of smiled. You know, but the reality is that we are not going to go away from a great player or a best player because I'm worried about the contract situation. They still believe in positional value. They have Malik Nabers, a wide receiver, who if he was going to be on the market right now, he'd be making $40 million a year. They have him on a rookie contract.
Yep.
You know, that's what they're talking about when they say positional value, and that goes for Abdul Carter, and that goes for Jackson Dart, obviously. We always just talk about the quarterbacks. So I think the positional value argument is still there. But I had someone tell me this week, and it's kind of stuck, and it's played out over the week at the Combine, is that it's nice to have good players, but you never turn away the potential for a great player because you have a good player in that position. And I think that is what kind of hangs over this entire roster as John Harbaugh looks to, you know, recreate this team in his image of what he wants, whether it's Ravens North or he wants to be completely different. It's going to be up to the head coach who you're paying $100 million.
When you look at the way he put together his coaching staff, any sense, where would you lean between this is going to be Ravens North and what ways do you think he might be evolving or changing that now that he's not with Ozzie Newsome and Eric DaCosta with the Ravens? What ways might he want to evolve that you can tell or you might be hearing so far?
You know, it's interesting because Harbaugh was asked this off the podium when he met with the beat after his, big podium at the combine where everyone is available. And one of the topics was contracts and the Ravens and how they handle contracts, and how the Ravens from Ozzie to Eric DaCosta and, the Ravens, they really have a Ravens way of doing things with contracts, right? They don't make big splashes in free agency. They like chasing compensatory picks. So that usually means signing guys who were released by other teams or waiting until the comp formula doesn't take effect and then signing those players. And Harbaugh was asked about that, and he was also asked about Dawna Ponte, who comes in now, and she is kind of the lead negotiator as far as the salary cap and contract structure, and what changes would they make? And he said, all I know is, number one, in terms of what we believe, over time, over 18 years, it changed and how we handled things. He said the Ravens were always a flat cap team. He said, meaning they didn't push money into the future and they really just, focused on year to year and the contract is the contract. That's where the Giants are right now because Joe Shane had such a big hole to dig out of that was created by the Gettleman years and the salary cap. So when people look at the Giants now and say, well, they have no salary cap space, Shane is an idiot. The reality is that they purposely did that because they didn't want to push money into the future. So now this year is a flat year, and now you go into next year and the year after, and you have big numbers that they're going to have available in cap space. Now you have to sign players and all that stuff. I mean, so it's going to go very quickly. But what Harbaugh said was, the Ravens the last couple of years, if you start digging into their contracts, they started adding some void years. They started looking and pushing some money forward because that's the way the league has evolved. And he said, and it's kind of funny, he said, we're not the Eagles. Nobody's the Eagles because we know Howie is the, let me push the money into 2030 and we worry about it in 2030. So he did kind of shed some light in terms of the contract structure, and that really matters when you're talking about what happens in free agency, what's going to happen in the draft, and what positions you're going to target. I think Harbaugh, I've made this point, Lori, Harbaugh comes here. There may have been times where he didn't like some of the way the roster was constructed, and it's not to say that he didn't have say. I mean, sometimes you have say and you want a player and you bring a player in and then you look at it and you go, well, he's really not living up to what I want. I wish I could change him, but I can't because I brought him here and we're locked in and, we got to win. We can't take a step back. He's got a kind of a clean slate here for the most part. So there are going to be situations where I think he may look at it and say, we got some decent players here at inside linebacker, but I may want to just wipe the slate clean. I mean, we may look and see the Giants have four new inside linebackers. Yep. Maybe one of them is Micah McFadden coming back on a 1-year prove-it deal off the injury. But you're going to see some different faces here. I mean, I think this Giants team, Harbaugh has carte blanche in terms of what he wants to do. So if there's a guy who's kind of there and, you look at the offensive line, John Runyon has no guaranteed money on his contract right now. He's the starting left guard. I think he's been a solid player since he's been here. Has he been disappointing to the fan base? Yeah. But could the Giants make a move at left guard and say, we're gonna cut Runyon and we're going to make, I think he gets $7 million in cap space back.
Yep.
It's an interesting way that he's going to have to decide, and that's Harbaugh and what he wants from this team. I would be nervous about breaking this offensive line down because you're no guarantees that you're going to get the guys to build them back up, especially since you just, found something last year. But look, it's John Harbaugh. I mean, 180 wins in the regular season. He's going to do what he needs to do. And I think the Giants are going to kind of stand by and support what he wants to do. It doesn't mean everything he's going to do is right, but we'll see how it plays out.
Talking to Art Stapleton about the Giants. And Art, if John Harbaugh calls you up and says, Art, I'm kind of thinking about this number five overall pick. Which direction do you think I should go? If you were advising the Giants on, you know, after having, you know, you were out there in Indianapolis, yeah, obviously you watch some college football as well, but you're covering the Giants, but you got a chance to put eyes on a lot of these prospects. Who would you be choosing with that first round pick, number five overall, if you were the Giants?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you, Lori. When I got to Indianapolis last week on Sunday, dodging the snow, making sure, you know, we got out of here, I thought it was going to be Carnell Tate, wide receiver from Ohio State. I thought, you know, take a wide receiver in that spot, pair him with Malik Nabers, give Jackson Dart somebody, and go. And on Tuesday, I can tell you that the meetings had started with a lot of the defensive players with teams. And I met with three personnel execs in the league on Tuesday night, late night Tuesday night. And I said, okay, tell me who the most impressive interview you've had so far. You know, the combine interviews. Mm-hmm. Each one of the three said Sonny Styles from Ohio State. Now, this is 2 days before he even takes the field inside the stadium and goes nuts and, you know, runs an unbelievable, you know, 40 for a guy that's, you know, 6'5", 244.
Yeah, 244 pounds, and he runs a 4.46.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane. So I think right now, listening to John Harbaugh earlier in the day talk about run defense, and we were talking about Dexter, and, you know, it was the idea of, you know, Joe Shane was like, you know, I don't know where this is coming from. We're not getting rid of Dexter. But Harbaugh said, if you don't have a middle linebacker, you cannot stop the run. So I'm combining that with the things I saw from Sonny Styles and heard and talked to Sonny Styles. To me, I think when you're John Harbaugh, I mean, and I can tell you, Ray Lewis,
yep.
CJ Mosley,
yep.
They made a play for Patrick Queen when he didn't work out to the lengths that they hoped. Mm-hmm. They went and they made a big deal and gave Roquan Smith a big contract at middle linebacker. Safety, you know what you had in Ed Reed, and then they went and made the splash with Kyle Hamilton. Now, Kyle Hamilton, I think, was 14th in the first round.
Yes, he was.
But for the Ravens at that point, to take a safety in that spot, I think a lot of teams look back on that Kyle Hamilton saying, you know what, we missed the boat. Like, he should have gone in the top 10 the mm-hmm. way he plays. So, to me now, the long-winded answer to your question, I'm going either Sonny Styles or Caleb Downs from Ohio State, two teammates. One of those should be a Giant out of five. And if they're both off the board, well, then that's when we have to have the discussion about maybe trading back a few spots and then maybe getting Carnell Tate, or maybe you end up taking one of the offensive linemen. Because I think if they both go in the top four, and that also includes Mendoza and what the Jets do, watch the Jets for Styles too. I heard that a lot. I heard maybe Aaron Glenn sees Sonny Styles as like a Micah Parsons type. But then you're talking about maybe somebody can trade up either for Jeremiah Love, or maybe somebody trades up for one of the edge guys that they thought was going to go off
mm-hmm,
the board.
Right.
I don't think the Giants would take Arvell Reese there. I think he's maybe a little too similar to Abdul Carter. But, you know, look, if they feel as though he's a great player, I mean, maybe they do take him. But that's kind of where I'm at right now with number five. And look, it could change. When I left the combine last year, I was convinced the Giants were trading up to number one and taking Cam Ward. And I was told that by several people. And I think the Giants were convinced they were going to be able to trade up to number one. And then a week later, Cam Ward had his meeting in Tennessee, and it was pretty much known he was not going anywhere. So a lot can change, but that's kind of what I'm feeling coming out of the combine this year.
You mentioned Joe Shane. What did you take away, or what struck you most from either his press conference there in Indianapolis, or something perhaps that he said off the podium?
You know, I think I think with Joe Shane, I mean, with all the heat that he's been under, and then, you know, again, it comes back to, you know, the NFLPA grades get released, and he's got the lowest grade of any GM in the league. Now, all of a sudden, we're judging everybody. A year ago, when the Giants had pretty decent grades, nobody cared. But now, all of a sudden, Joe Shane gets a D+, and, you know, now it's, you know, mock Joe Shane. I think the reality is that, you know, look, everybody that I've spoken to expects Joe Shane to sign a contract extension after the draft. I don't get the sense that John Harbaugh is looking to move past Joe Shane as general manager. I think they're trying to build a front office that maybe can take some things off of Joe Shane's plate. It's not necessarily take the responsibility off, but when asked about Don Aponte, they both said it, Shane and Harbaugh. You want to work with good people. You want to bring good people into the organization. And the reality is that, you know, you can say what you want about Kevin Abrams and being in that position. You're now replacing Kevin Abrams with Don Aponte. And I think Don Aponte brings a little bit more cachet to that position. And I think there's a little more trust. And yes, she's reporting to John Harbaugh. In reality, even though Joe Shane reports to ownership, he reports to John Harbaugh too. I mean, you don't hire a head coach of that caliber and then expect him to answer to other people in this organization. I mean, Joe Shane's record as general manager is what it is. And the sense I got from private conversations, from talking to Joe publicly, is that Joe understands, look, we got a potential head coach here right now. We have a franchise quarterback. As a general manager, my job is to build this roster and give this head coach what he needs to get back in the playoffs and get to the Super Bowl. And if Joe Shane does that, regardless of what went wrong in the first 4 years of him being here, he's going to have a legacy as a general manager moving into this second phase. And if he fails, then he's not going to have a job. Then someone else will be the general manager of the Giants. And I think it's as simple as that. I don't think there's anybody looking to backstab anyone. I think they're really looking at, let's work together. Let's get this team where it needs to be. And I think Joe Shane wants to deliver for the Giants. He wants to deliver to John Mara because John Mara has been by his side. They see what's going on with John Mara physically and his health. And I think Joe Shane feels a responsibility. You know, he watched a head coach that he believed in ultimately fail enough to get fired. And I think Joe Shane knows how close he was to losing his job. And I think that makes a big difference. Now you have a general manager who's going to do everything he can to feed what Harbaugh needs as a head coach. And I think there's a big difference between feeding a Brian Daboll, a first-year head coach, and a John Harbaugh. And I think that, as a general manager, makes your job easier, but it also kind of gives you a little bump. You know, learn from John Harbaugh. Watch the guy. Take everything you can get, every secret that he can provide that worked in Baltimore, and what didn't work. And I think Joe Shane is smart enough to listen. And if he's not, then he'll probably be out of a job at some point, and someone else will be in that position, whether it's Don Aponte or someone else, to kind of lead this, you know, football operations part of it next to Harbaugh.
You mentioned in terms of providing needs, sort of shopping for groceries for that head coach. Mm-hmm. We've got March 9th will be the beginning of the, call it, legal tampering period, when teams are talking to agents about free agents. And
sure,
as the Giants look ahead to that, have to make some decisions on roster cuts and look ahead, one big position that has to be figured out is wide receiver. And Malik Nabers, you know, Giants hopeful he'll be back for opening day, but we'll see, you know, with Nabers. And, you know, we watch the videos on, you know, of him working out and stuff like that.
Those videos look a lot better than the last time we saw Malik when he was coming through into the locker room with one of those, it wasn't a cane, but it was a crutch. It was kind of when you only have one crutch. Looked a lot better in his videos,
yes.
But yeah.
Now he looks better, so that looks good. There's Slayton, who, I don't know if they ask him to take a pay cut again or whatever. Wandale Robinson is a free agent, and I think that, and obviously there's free agency for wide receivers, and there's this draft for wide receivers. What are you hearing about how the Giants will, you know, if this is about right now trying to put all the infrastructure in place around this young quarterback to help him succeed, what are you hearing about the wide receiver position?
Yeah, I mean, I think they would love to have Wandell back, but to me, it sounds like he's priced out of what they want to spend in that position for a number two receiver. You know, it wouldn't surprise me to see Wandell follow his old head coach down to Tennessee. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think, you know, maybe they mix and match a little bit receiver. Maybe they play a little bit on the free agent market. Maybe they look for a trade.
Any names to keep in mind? Juwan Jennings is a free agent. Obviously, there are a number of others. It sounds like, you know, maybe not
like,
the top couple, but any other names?
Yeah, one I liked that I had heard right around trade deadline, but also now is Romeo Doubs from Green Bay.
Yep.
You know, maybe he's, you know, if Wandell's going to get 18, 19, if Romeo gets 14, you know, is that a much better deal there?
I think so.
You know, again, I'm just throwing these numbers out there. Yeah. I wasn't able to dig in as to where their markets are. But I would think he's the kind of guy. I could see them also dipping into the Nagy Chiefs tree. Maybe they make a play for Tyquan Thornton as that third guy. You know, we can fit him in a speed role. Is it untapped potential maybe to come here? Follow Nagy, be with Jackson Dart. I do think that it is possible if they go to Slayton and try to restructure his contract a little bit. You know, you can't cut him, so he's on this team. I don't think anybody would be willing to trade for him with where the number is. You know, it's unfortunate because last year, this time going into free agency, people expected Slayton's market to be much higher than what it really actually was when the Giants re-signed him. And then obviously he did not have a great year production wise. But that's just what you have to deal with. You made the deal and now you have to deal with it at least for another year before you get rid of him. So it's going to be intriguing. And I do also think that, you can draft a wide receiver in the draft. I think there might be guys who end up getting cut from other teams that you may look at and say, okay, well, maybe he can come here. So it's a little bit of a question mark right now as to where you're going to go beyond Malik Nabers and see how you're going to build out this wide receiving core. But I'm interested to see what happens if Wandell does go. Who do they go after free agent wise, because I think at that point you might have to draft a guy, but also you might have to sign a couple guys in free agency, maybe not big money, but see if you can kind of mix and match. And let's be honest, Lori, the Ravens have always been a mix and match kind of team. You know, they've brought in big names. You know, they made the draft. They drafted Zay Flowers and, you know, Steve Smith when they brought him in back in the day. He was a big receiver for them. But for the most part, the Ravens have always kind of been a, you know, mix and match. Like, let's see what we can do receiver-wise. You know, the year that they brought Odell in, you know, they brought in DeAndre Hopkins, you know, Rashad Bateman, you know, guys like that that wouldn't necessarily, you wouldn't look at it and go, all right, well, they, you know, now they got their stud receiver. You know, Zay Flowers has been good, don't get me wrong, but I'm interested to see how they remake this this wide receiver room and cater to Jackson Dart, too, and what does he need as a quarterback? What kind of receivers are best for him? Guys who maybe can play in space, know how to get into space when Jackson is moving out of the pocket, understand, you know, the rules as far as when he's scrambling and looking to make plays down the field. I mean, you don't necessarily need to get the best guy, you need to get the best fit. And I think that's kind of what they have to find out right now with how this Giants offense moves forward.
All right, last one before I let you go is Joe Shane. When asked about Kayvon Thibodeau at this week out at the Combine, Shane did say something like, he is, he's a Giant right now. He used the words right now. And I wasn't sure how did you interpret that comment? And do you expect Kayvon Thibodeau to be a New York Giant, let's say week one of the season, or do you expect him to be traded?
You know, you hear different things, and does he really have a market that is what, you know, will make the Giants trade away a strength? You know, the $15 million is already on the books. You don't trade a guy like Thibodeau just to make salary cap space. That's number one. And the Giants could keep him here and say, you know what, we'll keep him until the trade deadline, especially if you're looking for an asset for next year. You know, if you're looking for an asset for next year, you might as well just hold on to Thibodeau and see where you go from there. But I look at it the flip side, too. I mean, sometimes when guys are talked about in trades, you know, they're upset. They look at it and say, you know what, why are you looking to trade me? I think for Kayvon's got to look at it and go, you know what? What's my role here? Where am I going to be? I want the bag. You know what I mean? I want my next contract. Yeah. And how happy is Kayvon going to be if he's sitting here? Yes, he's going to be happy that he's making a lot more money than he's made this year on the franchise tag. But he wants opportunities too. I mean, the longer the season goes, if Abdul Carter all of a sudden is becoming the player and the consistent player that we saw at the tail end of the season, and we know what Brian Burns is, and if they're healthy, and then all of a sudden, what if you draft an edge guy in the fourth round in the draft? You really like him, and you're thinking about the future, and you know that Kayvon's not going to be here beyond this year. Now, all of a sudden, you're in week 7, week 8, and this kid is really looking pretty good. You know what? I want to get him more reps. Well, where does Kayvon go? And that, I think, is an important part of this, too. And, you know, say what you want about Joe Shane as a general manager, and everyone wants to dance on his grave with, you know, Leonard Williams doing what he's doing in Seattle. But don't forget, you know, people didn't want Leonard Williams here back on another contract. And Joe Shane basically went to Leonard Williams and said, I want to make you happy. You know, this wasn't D plus Joe Shane. This was Joe Shane doing what he could to make this roster work and this locker room work. So I think, you know, if you're asking me now, is Kayvon on this team? I'd say no. I think they roll with Chauncey Golston as the third edge. I think they maybe draft somebody in a class that's very deep at edge. Not early, but you know what? Maybe early. Who knows where they're at? I mean, I think Kayvon, you know, is a good player. I think they draft him when he was the best player on the board for them. Mm-hmm. But I don't think, if you look at those edge guys, it was Aiden Hutchinson, then Kayvon, and then Walker, really, he was number one, hasn't really done much in Jacksonville compared to where Hutchinson was. So that's kind of what Kayvon's compared to, and I don't think he's Aiden Hutchinson right now. So it wouldn't surprise me to see Kayvon getting traded. I would not give him away. But I certainly would look to maybe work something else out to see. You're not signing him long-term here. You're not getting him a contract extension. So you have to make decisions not just for this season, but for next and the year after.
All right. Art Stapleton does a fantastic job covering the Giants. Art, really appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you soon.
Sounds great, Lori. Have a good night.